This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, Republican from the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, and he's also the top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. And on the first Friday of every month, as the new unemployment numbers come out, the Joint Economic Committee hears from the Department of Labor and the Department of Labor's Office of Bureau of Statistics. And the congressman is fresh out of that hearing. And, Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
What did you want to know today? Obviously, we saw disappointing numbers, 10.2% unemployment, 193,000 jobs lost in October. What were you most interested in hearing this morning?
Well, this was disappointing news, mainly because all the economic consensus was much lower than this. And, you know, my view is, you know, the third quarter figures from a week ago, people were starting to do sort of celebratory dances. I think they were premature, as we warned them there. And I really think at this point, this far into the year, you know, I think the president's economic policies have failed, from the stimulus to housing to the financial to the bailout issues. They just aren't creating jobs. And what we heard today was that this is the highest unemployment in 26 years. More importantly, males, adult males, the highest unemployment since they began looking at those numbers. And really, the true unemployment figure, if you look at those who are unemployed and those who are just given up, is over 17%. So, you know, they may be saying the recession's over, but it isn't translating into jobs.
Congressman, what is it about the Obama agenda that you believe has, in particular, failed? Their defenders would probably argue that it takes time for all of it to kick in. They might even point back to the early 80s, that it really took a couple of years before the Reagan tax cuts kicked in. Obviously, very different policies, but why do you brand this a failure at this point?
Because the Obama administration took a different tack. They said, rather than grow ourselves out of the economy naturally, let's pump, you know, trillions of dollars into the economy. Let's direct funding toward social services, toward art projects, toward everything but real job creation. And their bailout actions so far, including in the auto industry, haven't produce results. In fact, the companies that are doing the best are the ones who didn't get the help. And so in the housing, clearly, we're not seeing a rebound in housing. We're not able to get people into mortgages they can afford. None of that has worked. I wish it had, but it hasn't.
What did your witnesses have to say today about the status quo? Do they see things getting better, or will some sort of change in policy be necessary to really kickstart things?
Well, these are the numbers, guys. They just really accumulate it and report it, so they didn't have many recommendations. What they did say, you know, is that the job loss of 190,000 surprised everyone. It is down slightly from last month, but they expected it to be much better. They are very concerned about the long-term unemployment, people who just simply can't find a job, and they didn't have a whole lot of encouraging news on the horizon. And then finally, you know, they were questioned quite hard about all the reported false reportings, misreportings of the stimulus dollars, where some companies are reporting thousands of people hired when it was closer to 20 or 30. One city claimed, or school district claimed, 660 new jobs from the stimulus. They only had 600 workers total to start with. So they're seeing all these abuses. We question them hard about, you know, how do we get not corrupted data, but accurate data about the stimulus?
Any good answers to that?
No, they just said their information is accurate. And when I questioned them about maybe an independent inspector general or agency to confirm these numbers, they did say their independence from the White House and from other agencies has been helpful.
Congressman, it's a busy weekend for you. Normally, members, certainly on Friday, are able to head back to their districts for the weekend. Not the case this week. Not only did you have the hearings today on the jobs numbers, but also a vote supposed to be Saturday. Now it appears it might be as late as Sunday, and we'll see if it gets pushed back again, on the Democratic health care bill. We just saw an apparent whip count that only 169 Democrats are fully committed to supporting this bill. What does that tell you?
I do think they are having trouble selling this product, both to their Democratic members and to the American public as well. I just came out of a meeting where one member of the Democrat conference said they're not going to have the votes Saturday, they're not going to have it Sunday, they're not going to have it Monday or Tuesday. that simply this is a product that they can't sell. I don't know what the dynamics are, but I do know the speaker's got a full court press. They're shuttling people in and out of her office on an hourly basis, and so I know they're going to push hard to get that 218. Again, I think they ought to stop this, go back to the drawing board, sit down with the Republicans. Let's come up with some good ideas that can actually the whole country can embrace.
Congressman, you and I have talked several times about why you think this is a terrible bill, the cost, the government intrusion, the access to care, potential rationing down the road. What are Democrats saying? What issues are they most concerned about that are keeping some of the moderates on the sidelines?
You know, I think those are it. You know, the huge deficit that this new program is going to entail on top of our already insolvent Medicare and Social Security problems is a big one. I think the Medicare reimbursements are so low, they're convinced it's going to hurt a lot of and the cuts in Medicare are going to hurt seniors as well as rural communities, doctors, hospitals, and home health care agencies. And then I do think there are some in the Democratic caucus who do not want what the goal of this bill is, which is eventually a single-payer nationalized health care system. I think there are some free market Democrats who are objecting to that.
Congressman, in the end, you obviously wish that they would go back to the drawing board. Do you think they will?
You know, I think the odds are greater that they will somehow find the 218 votes they need. But each day it goes longer, I think the tougher it is for them. And even if it passes, we still have, that's not the last vote. We've still got the Senate vote, and then they have to reconcile the differences. So in the way this economy is going south, especially with these unexpected unemployment numbers, I think more and more members are wondering, should we add all these new tax increases and mandates on our small business community? Will this hurt the economy further? So, you know, it isn't the end of the world if they somehow scrape 218. We're going to keep fighting.
Congressman, on Tuesday was a pretty good night for Republicans, certainly in Virginia and New Jersey. But just yesterday, the Democrats got the AARP and the AMA on board for this health care plan. Which of those two events do you think is likely to have a greater impact on those on the fence on this issue?
I think Tuesday night, clearly. You know, AARP and the AMA endorsements were expected and don't really reflect grassroots back home. In fact, most members believe their doctors, and certainly are in my district, firmly opposed to this, and our seniors. I just did a telephone town hall meeting again last night. Predominantly the seniors fear this bill. And so I think Tuesday night, where the candidates not only were linked to Obama and the health care plan, but they'd missed the jobs issue and they kept blaming Bush, the voters rejected it, said you need to take responsibility. So, yeah, I think it is that Tuesday night election votes are playing a part.
Last question for you, Congressman. I know it wasn't your district, but all Texans and all Americans thinking about the families affected by the tragic shootings at Fort Hood on Thursday. What additional insight or information can you tell us?
Well, we seem to be finding out some new things by the hour, so I don't want to be prejudging on this. I just know, you know, when I visit with families who've lost a son or a daughter in Iraq or Afghanistan, it is heartbreaking. And it is even more painful, if it's possible, when you lose a loved one when they're safe here at home, and especially on, you know, our largest military base in the world. And it's just, my heart goes out to those families. I really question, you know, what could be have been done to stop this. I know that having a lone terrorist, for example, if this proves to be the case, you know, that lone wolf is the toughest for us as a country to guard against. But you want the question answered, did we do all that we could to prevent this?
Congressman, hopefully we'll get some of those answers in relatively short order. Certainly a lot going on today, sir, and we thank you very much for taking the time to be with us, as always.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
You too, sir. Texas Congressman Kevin Brady represents his state's 8th Congressional District, member of the House Ways and Means Committee, also the top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.